The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little children shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobbler's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, over the last two Sundays we have considered the two great messianic prophecies, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 and 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 12 to 14. From them we learn what the Lord had revealed in the Old Testament concerning the person of Christ, the manner of his coming, and the founding and the consummation of his kingdom. How a believer's heart rejoices when it perceives how wonderfully these gracious promises have been fulfilled. Today, we conclude our Advent meditations by studying the delightful picture which the great prophet evangelist has painted of the kingdom of Christ on earth. Our theme is the glorious kingdom of the Prince of Peace. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the glorious kingdom of the Prince of Peace, glorious because of the King who wields its sceptre. Isaiah begins his description of the Prince of Peace with a brief reference to the Messiah's humble human origin. Our text begins, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." There was nothing glorious in this, as you read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The house of Jesse, once like a majestic cedar of Lebanon, has degenerated into a dry, decaying stump. David's glory had departed. Bethlehem was a hamlet of ill repute. Mary was without reputation and poor. But out of this root a rod, a branch, a tender plant came forth, which grew into a stately tree and bore abundant fruit. The Prince of Peace, who caused the latter glory of the house of David, was to be greater than the former. We read in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." But to what is this fruitfulness of the rod of Jesse, the glory of the Prince of Peace, ascribed to? It is attributed to this, the unparalleled anointing with the Holy Spirit, as we read in our text. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And this is wonderfully stated also in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom the Lord has anointed with the oil of gladness above his companions. We read in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus is true God, as we read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And also in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, that by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having been made peace through the blood of his cross. Hence his extraordinary qualifications for rulership. Firstly, wisdom. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. And secondly, understanding. Luke chapter 2, verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And thirdly, counsel. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the familiar verse, and his name will be called Counselor. And Psalm 33, verse 1, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. And also in the Psalms 73, verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel. And in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 29, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellence in guidance. And then there is might. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Mighty God. And in Psalm 24, verse 8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. And then his rulership also has knowledge. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11, by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many. And Romans chapter 11, verse 33, O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And finally, there is the fear of God. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And all of these qualities are important. So having been anointed with the Spirit and endowed with the gifts of rulership, the Prince of Peace reigns with skill and equity. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. This means that Jesus is not a respecter of persons, nor does he judge by outward appearance. He searches the heart and the minds of every person. Thus the poor and the meek receive justice. Our text says, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. We also read about this wonderful justice in Psalm 72, verses 2 to 7. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. The contrite heart now becomes an acceptable sacrifice, as we learn from Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And we have the joyous news that the sinner is saved, as we are told in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, the wicked will be destroyed. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And we read in Job chapter 4, verse 9, by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed. And in Psalm 2, verse 9, you shall break them with the rod of iron, you shall dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. They will be judged, condemned, and punished by his omnipotent word and spirit. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Thus the rule of the Prince of Peace is characterized by righteousness and faithfulness. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Truly a remarkable king and ruler. Wisely David counsels, as we read in Psalm 2. Now therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. The hymnist writes, O bless the land, the city blessed, where Christ the ruler is confessed. O happy hearts and happy homes, to whom this king in triumph comes. The cloudless son of joy he is, who brings us pure delight and bliss. We praise thee, Spirit, now, our comforter art thou. So secondly, the glorious kingdom of the Prince of Peace, glorious because of the peace that is within its borders. The kingdom of the Prince of Peace is composed of diverse elements. We read in our text, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobbler's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Exalted by the Lord, the rod of Jesse has become a banner of the peoples, a standard around which they gather. Our text says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. Christ draws all people to himself. Representatives of all nations and stations in life kneel in adoration before his mercy seat. We read in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Before their conversion, they were so different as the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the young goat. What a strange assembly. Nevertheless, the most prominent characteristic of the kingdom is peace. Animals of prey, no longer bloodthirsty, feed with domestic animals. They have become mild-mannered and are being led by a child. Even the vipers have lost their venom and are the playmates of infants. What a striking picture of a harmony and peace in the kingdom of Christ. Jew and Gentile, bond and free, rich and poor, wise and foolish, dwell there together in sweet communion. We read in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will bless his people with peace. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, we read, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." Our text says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy. Instead of strife and mutual persecution, there is love and peace." Is this an exaggeration? By no means. True, as yet there is not perfect peace within the church due to the weakness of its members, but if we consider how many hostile and discordant elements have been fused together in the church, we must admit that it is one of the greatest miracles of history. Perfect peace will be attained in the end when the kingdom is consummated. Then the kingdom will be glorious, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. As our text says, "His place shall be glorious." How is the peace of the kingdom maintained and cultivated? As our text says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord." Now that the rod of Jesse, the crucified and risen Saviour, has been lifted up before the eyes of all people, the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. His subjects know him well and associate intimately with him. And it is through communion with him that their feet are guided into the ways of peace. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And also in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, we read, "Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus." And in Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth." In a few days, we shall kneel in spirit at the manger bed of the Prince of Peace. Let us pay allegiance to him in spirit and in truth, worshipping him as our Saviour and King, and realizing as fully as possible how great the blessings are which he has bestowed upon us in his kingdom. Then the words of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, will be fulfilled in us, and we shall in due time enter into his glorious rest." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.